In a world plagued by reboots, haunted by sequels, dominated by the same old shit, get ready for an original podcast that will gouge out your eyeballs and skull fuck you. Starring Ginger Josh, Adam the Hare, and introducing the immortal Frank. Hold on to your butts. It's the Game Rage Movies TV Podcast.
History. Oh, welcome back, everybody, to a new episode of, well, you know what? I'm just going to call it the new name of what it is, Absolute Cinema.
Spelled S-I-N.
S-I-N, yeah, because there's the, fuck, man, I should have changed the name like 2 weeks ago because some assholes fucking put out a podcast that's called Absolute Cinema, like normal. They just did like their first episode. It's terrible, but fuck them. It's different, all right? It's fucking different. Because it's just spelled S-I-N, all right? Like sin. Whatever, you'll see it in the logo when it changes. Go fuck yourselves.
Anyway. Speaking of which, I just went to go on a tangent.
Yeah.
You know that meme with fucking Martin Scorsese?
Yeah.
I saw one of the fucking guys from, what's that game with the fucking game? Managed Democracy.
Oh, okay. Is that just the game, right?
Yeah. No. The what's the name of the game?
Helldivers.
Helldivers. Yeah. There's a meme with like the guy's helmet. It's like Absolute Democracy.
Dude, that's what we should change the fucking no party purpose to Absolute Democracy. Anyways, today this is a special episode because it's not Absolute Cinema. It's Conspiracy Enforcer. And as I've said on the other podcasts, which we can go back and listen if you're a completionist, you want to listen to the other episodes, you listen to them on No Party Preference, Central Intelligence Podcast, and All Gas No Trash.
This is like some comic tie-in bullshit where you got to read four different comics to watch.
But here's the thing:
Conspiracy Enforcer.
Here's the thing that's great about it is you really don't have to, because already I can tell you right now the whole goal that I set. Which the goal is set to, as long as these episodes do better than the average that we get on the podcast that they're being special episodes on, it will get branched off into its own podcast. And so already the three episodes, it's on track to do that. So you likely will get all these, because I'm going to put all five of these are going to be the first five episodes, and then the sixth episode will be like episode one. So like these, so you know how like I like to only release it with five episodes? This was a cool way to do it where we don't have to like wait. We don't have to record the episodes and then wait like a month until we record five episodes. It's like, oh, we just did them as special episodes on every other podcast. And then now I have five episodes. I can put it up and then we can just do it every week now or whatever. It's fucking genius. All right. Just fucking shut up. All right. You don't get it.
It's like I said, man, just playing to the trope. It's like, oh, we're gonna start off with the number one of Conspiracy Enforcer.
It is. So now this is Conspiracy Enforcer episode four. And today, because it's movies, it's Absolute Cinema, so it's related. We're going to talk about this show called The Lone Gunman from 2001. And so before we get into that, though, here's the new theme for the Conspiracy Enforcer. Here we go. Ready to go.
It's time for the Conspiracy Enforcer. He'll go from Bigfoot to Donna. If you got a touch of the tism or a brain aneurysm, he'll cover the Ice Hall Fairy and the Illuminati Query. If you've got a screw loose, he's got the good juice. Someone call Hillary and warn her. Here comes the Conspiracy Enforcer.
Oh man, I love that. That's my favorite theme song I've ever fucking made. That's so good, man. That part at the end just seals the deal. Anyways, so all right, I feel like you would love this fucking show because it's so fucking ridiculous. All right, it aired in March. It went from March 4th to June 1st of 2001. That's when the original series ran. It was 13 episodes. Okay, of this show, The Lone Gunman. And essentially what it is, on the X-Files, there were these characters, there was three of them, they were referred to as The Lone Gunman, and they ran this, like, publication that they made. It was a printed little newspaper, and it was the first, one of the first e-zines or whatever online that they would start sending people to, because they were like, a couple of them were computer hackers. And so they would send it like to the few people that had like online access back in the early 2000s, you know? And so they were on the X-Files quite a bit. They were like little side characters. And I guess they just decided, hey, you know what? Fuck it. Let's give them their own goddamn show. So they did. They gave them their own like show. And it was very extremely ridiculous. There's three guys. Okay. One of them, his name's Byers, and he's like kind of the straight-laced dude. He used to work at the FCC, and then he just like became a conspiracy theorist. Like they never got to go into his backstory fully to figure out like why he just like he had some issue with his dad and like whatever. Then you got this other guy, which this guy is one of my favorite characters ever created. His name's Frohickey. His name's Melvin Frohickey. Okay, that's his name. And he's like 65. He's like elderly. He's like old. And they utilize him in this show as like the James Bond spy character. So he like suits up and like he fucking goes undercover and like he does all this like action maneuver. He's an old fat dude and he's doing like these fucking ridiculous, like he did this thing where he jumped from like a car to a motorcycle. It was fucking hilarious. All right. It's insane. It is fucking crazy. Then the third guy, the third lone gunman of the trio is, his name is Richard Langley and they call him Ringo. And he's like the computer hacker guy. And then he's like, I don't know. He's got like, he looks like fucking the, what's his name from Wayne's World? The blonde guy. Is it Garth? Yeah. He looks fucking like him. He's got the same haircut. He's got the glasses. It's pretty funny. So these three dickheads, one of the things, now how this is like tied into conspiracy related, right? Is the whole show is about conspiracy theories. However, there is something very interesting about it, which was in the pilot episode. The whole plot, which was March 4th, 2001, was when this aired. Okay. The whole plot of it was that there were some rogue members of the government that remotely hijacked an airliner that was flying to Boston, a commercial airliner. And then they were going to crash it into the World Trade Center. And then they were going to blame anti-American terrorist groups to get public support for a new war. All right. That's the whole point of the episode. And what's funny is these three dickheads end up somehow figuring that this is going to happen and they end up like hacking the controls and they avert disaster and they save the day, right? That's how this show starts off. Okay? With something as ridiculous as that, which then 6 months later turned out to be 9/11. But, you know, I mean, hey, whatever. I mean, it is what it is. There's a lot of people that believe the show was canceled because of that and that it was specifically due to, again, a conspiracy theory kind of that has existed for a while or a long time, is that the media, like the elites or whoever, they tell you what they're going to do to you in the media before they do it so they don't have to feel bad. They have this like zero karmic, you know,
or to prep people's minds for something that's,
yeah, something that's going to come or whatever. Or it's like, if they're going to fucking wipe out some people, they go like, oh, cool. We have no, we told you how we were going to do it, like what we were going to do. And you didn't listen. So, okay. Sucks to be you. So getting into the episodes, right? So that was episode number one. And I'm just going to read the one sentence, like synopsis of the episode, because it's kind of ridiculous. Episode two is called Bond, Jimmy Bond, and they literally find a dude whose name's Jimmy Bond, right? Like, that's the point of the episode. But they're searching for the killer of an infamous hacker. The lone gunman find a fourth member when they stumble upon a practice of a football field team for the blind. A blind football team. And they meet this dude, his name's Jimmy Bond. And he's like stupid as shit. Like, he's not actually blind, he's just stupid as hell. And like, that, it gets crazier. So then the episode number three is where basically there's this lady. So they have to have this like lady love interest or whatever. And her name's Eve. And so the old fat guy, Frohickey, he tries to convince this woman who is suspected of being a Nazi war criminal that he is her long lost son. And he survived to like talk about it. He's convincing her to do this thing, right? That episode was stupid as hell. Didn't make any sense. This one's fucking pretty funny. It's called episode four, Like Water for Octane, all right? While searching for a water-powered car, The gunmen encounter missile silos, rude government clerks, and cows. And I remember there was a sequence in that episode where there literally was, they were trying to get a paper from some government official, and they were just like, she was like sitting there looking at her nails, and like, dude, she's like, you want that? Okay, take a number. And then A7, they call me like, oh, you actually got to be in that. Like, it was like the DMV. It was fucking hilarious.
That was the whole episode? Or
basically. And then they go, and then they end up fucking off, and they go do some other shit, but like, then... they were trying to find the fifth episode was them trying to find the lone. They turn into babysitters because they end up finding this baby. And then it's like three men and a baby, literally, was like the episode. And it's like while also trying to expose the truth behind a murder linked to a senator seeking re-election. All right. Oh, what? How do these three assholes always end up in these situations? Right. Like it doesn't make any fucking sense. Then this one. All right. This one's fucking hilarious. This might be one of the favorite ones. It's called Madam, I'm Adam, all right? And this guy contacts them saying, hey, I think my life has been stolen after I was abducted by aliens, all right? And then it really wasn't that. They end up getting caught in a love triangle involving a one-eyed stereo salesman, brainwashing, and a wrestling dwarf. And the dwarf was like... the one that was orchestrating the whole fucking thing. Like, he was the mastermind of this plan that he was going to get rid of this dude so he could steal his wife or whatever. Like, that's the episode. Then this one's fucking hilarious, called Planet of the Frohickeys, right? And so they receive an email from an ingenious chimpanzee named Simon White Thatch Patalentoins. And he's attempting to escape a government laboratory. And this monkey sends email to them.
That's fucking awesome.
Saying, hey guys, I know you're conspiracy dudes. I read your periodical upon the internet. And
that's fucking awesome.
I was wondering if you could come help me. That's a great fucking movie.
Yeah, it is, dude.
That's a great.
I mean, it's basically Jay and Silent Bob, yeah. Minus the extra steps of like contacting Jay and Silent Bob,
yeah,
through email, and then yeah, getting rescued,
and then getting rescued. That is ridiculous. Like, who the fuck? Did these dudes just get high and be like, all right, let's just fucking come up with some weird fucking shit? Then there was some guy that he's on death row, and his mom reaches out to them and she says he's innocent, he didn't do it. So two of the guys end up somehow going into prison, and they pose as prisoners on death row in all of all places, a Texas jail, and they try to prove this guy's innocence. That's like the episode, right? It was, I don't really remember that one, but that sounds fucking stupid. Then one of them goes to the hospital. I think it's the fucking the idiot guy. He ends up going to the hospital and he's recovering. And then he starts to think that the doctor that's seeing him is like a killer, like a wanted killer. Like it's like some doctor is trying to kill stuff. So then the other idiots, while this is going on, the side plot to this episode is the other ones are trying to track down a dude who kills grizzly bears and sells their gallbladders. All right. And this was like where that Frohickey dude like dresses up as a bear to try to like fucking attract them. And he's wearing, because like the dude shoots him, so like I think he was wearing like a bulletproof bear suit, and it's like where, like, you guys run a newspaper and a digital magazine. Where are you getting the resources to buy not only bear suits but then somehow making them bulletproof? All right, that does not make any fucking sense to me.
It's like a show that immediately jumped the shark from the get go.
Yeah. Yeah, straight out the get-go. So then episode number 10 is the love interest Eve and Frohickey, which they have this weird... So Eve is like this young, hot, like secret agent type chick, right? And Frohickey is like an old, elderly fucking man who's completely out of shape. Well, they decide they're going to go undercover as tango dancers, and they're going to stop some guy who's trying to sell some government secrets that, like, they don't want to get out or something like that. Which, now it's like, you guys went from trying to go against the government to now you're trying to help the government. Like, very strange. But, yes, I distinctly remember them two doing this tango, and he does that thing where he dips her down and he has the rose in his mouth, and then, like, you fucking get... And seeing a 65-year-old man, a dude who's, like, he's wearing, like, he's got suspenders on all the time. Like, he's wearing suspenders nonstop. Even if he's wearing some normal-looking clothes, they're hidden underneath. You can see him. Like, he's just an old guy, right? Wearing suspenders, completely fucking ridiculous. Then they go ahead and they tie in the X-Files to this. So, like, the guy who's the assistant director of the FBI, the one of the main guys, Byers, his roommate got killed or whatever from college. And so they somehow found evidence that said, oh, this guy who's the assistant FBI director in X-Files, he did it. And so they're like, they're tying in X-Files to it. They're trying to like, okay, cool, let's tie everything back in towards the end here. And then there was a TV show that the one hacker guy loved. And apparently there was like some shenanigans or some corruption that took place. So there were two FBI agents that were working undercover on that show. And so now this episode was them trying to solve the murder of these two fucking FBI agents. And the best one, or one of the best ones, is it was a lost episode that didn't actually like air, but it was supposed to have aired, but I guess it didn't for whatever reason. And it's where they team up with a literal man in black, like a guy from the Men in Black, like. And they're trying to find that chick or whatever, because she like disappeared. And so what they end up finding is some government program named Romeo 61, which is basically they have caused like all the incidents that have ever taken place like in throughout history, like of the major, like, you know, from like the assassination of Kennedy on, like they basically did it all. Like they did every like. They overthrew all these governments, like they fucking did all this, took down the fucking Soviet Union. They orchestrated like everything or whatever. And so what's funny is they do have a Jump the Shark episode in the X-Files. They're in an episode called Jump the Shark. And I thought that was kind of funny that it was like something about bioterrorism. And oh, Dana Scully and fucking Mulder can't figure out this bioterrorism thing. So, oh, you know what we should do? We should go to those idiots who write that newspaper. Let's go ask them what they think. And then that's like the whole episode is like them doing it. It's called Jump the Shark. Pretty funny that they did that. So anyways, the show is ridiculous. Each episode's like a fucking hour. Like they're long fucking episodes, which is probably also why the shit got canceled, because I mean, I can only entertain ridiculousness for a certain amount of time, right? Like 30 minutes. Okay, cool. Maybe I can like suspend my disbelief to get it going. But
isn't the title kind of oxymoronic by saying lone gunman, that it's plural, but they're alone?
Yeah. So it's the name of their newspaper, the Lone Gunman. And it's to represent, it's obvious. It's talking about, oh, they're saying that like it wasn't a lone gunman that killed Kennedy basically, but there's three of them. So it's like they're lone gunmen. So it's like there's three of them, and it's like a play on the Kennedy assassination. I got you. So like that's why they named it that or whatever. And that's the name of like the newspaper.
I vaguely remember the characters, but I it's been too long for me to.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah. It's been 25 years, basically. So like, yeah, I could see how that's plausible. But anyways, I would recommend everybody to watch the show.
If it's even possible to,
it's on YouTube, so you can't. Well, I mean, listen, I own the DVDs because I'm a psychopath, but I was looking to see, I was Googling where you could watch it now because I have the DVDs, but I'm like, oh man, I don't want to go get the DVDs and then put them in the thing and then whatever to watch them, because I was gonna try to rewatch them again just to see what was up, and I somehow stumbled on my Amazon account and it came up and said when I bought the DVDs, and it was in fucking 2012 that I bought the fucking DVDs. And what's funny is I paid like $6 for the whole series, right? And now it's like 55 or 60 bucks going on there, and I'm like, goddamn. It's not new in the box, because I mean, I did watch it back in 2012. That was you know, I watched it when I got it because I was like, oh man, I remember this show. And then I was like, oh shit. I don't know what prompted me to buy it back then, but I just thought that was funny. And I'm like, God damn, man, how long have I fucking had an Amazon account for? Jesus Christ. Like, that's a long ass time ago. So that was probably even before. That was back when Amazon was $29.95 for Amazon Prime a year or whatever. Another conspiracy theory. Why Amazon is Prime is so fucking expensive. Anyways, all right. Well, that's the end of it. You got anything else to add?
No.
All right. Anyways, well, thanks for listening to this episode of special episode of Conspiracy Enforcer on Absolute Cinema. So if you want to follow us on social media, go to Game Rage Magazine on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. Like, comment, follow, and subscribe. You can also go to Game Rage Mag on Twitter. Follow Adam at All Gas No Trash Official on Instagram, YouTube, and substack.com/@AllGasNoTrashOfficial. All right, that's it. Eventually, these intros and outros are going to change for Absolute Cinema. They're just probably going to be music. These are going to go away. But until I do that, you're going to have to still listen to the same shit. So goodbye.
Oh, hey there, buddy. It's me, 1930s announcer guy, here to congratulate you on making it through this episode. As our heroes are getting in their jalopies and riding off into the literal sunset, they wanted me to tell you thanks for listening to their radio broadcast, and should you be so kind as to follow them on some fancy schmancy radio station publication called Instagram and TikTok at Game Rage Magazine, and on some other thing called Twitter/X at Game Rage Mag. Also, they wanted me to inform you and ask if you could be so kind again as to visit something called a website at www.GameRageMagazine.com. I don't know what that is, buddy, but you should probably go do those things. And, you know, don't forget to tune in next time to the Game Rage Movies and TV Radio Broadcast.